The Graduate School of Arts and Sciences at Tufts University offers advanced education and career preparation for tomorrow's leaders. Enroll in a master's degree in data analytics, sustainability, urban and environmental planning, economics, education, or any of our online certificate programs for professionals. New online certificates coming soon. Study full-time or part-time. Tufts will help you get to where you're going next. Take the next step. Visit asegrad.tufts.edu.
Welcome to Meet the Author, where you can join in on insightful conversations with best-selling and award-winning indie published authors. Your hosts today are Rob and Joan, who themselves are indie published authors, book publicists, and paranormal investigators with Tampa Bay Spirits, based in Tampa Bay, Florida. Thanks for dropping by. And now, on with the show.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Joan. Welcome to the show. We really appreciate you being in the audience, and whether you're watching the show live tonight, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or if you're listening to the podcast or even rewatching the show from many of the places where you can rewatch it, we're really glad that you chose to be in our audience. We appreciate all of you, and we couldn't ask for a better audience. Yeah. We appreciate all your comments, and I see we have four already.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to love our author tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You will. George Dismukes. Okay, you're live. Wait, let me check my pulse. Okay, I'm live.
Well, too. That's good news, George.
That is good news always. Though, you know, yeah. I would still like to hear from him.
Yeah, well, that's true. Even, yeah.
Marjorie Daring says... Hello, happy Wednesday.
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Marjorie. Glad you're with us. Joe Conjol says,
Good evening,
Rob and Joan. Hello, Joe.
And Joe.
And Chris Christman. Good evening, Rob and Joan. Hello. Oh, Joy Sheldon.
Hi, Joy. York.
Hi, Joy. Oh, my goodness. It's good to hear from all of you, and glad that you're watching. You're really, really going to like the author tonight.
It's like old home week. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's great to get together with a bunch of friends.
It is.
Hey, Voice of Indie Podcast, everybody, right after this show, stay. You can, at the end of this show, there'll be a little commercial that tells you exactly, a little tutorial on how to get exactly over to listen to that Voice of Indie Podcast. And you can actually interact with it as well and make comments. Author tonight is John Howell. So Beam Weeks and Gary G's, they put on a great show there for Fresh Ink Group. And then, let's see. Also, we would like to remind everybody about the Book World podcast, The Great Escape. That's on Wednesdays, but it's in the afternoon, 1 o'clock Central Time in the U.S., with C.J. Peterson and Mike Clifton. And you just go onto YouTube at C.J. Peterson, and you'll find the podcast there. Episode Rewind this Saturday night, 5:30 p.m., is Ted Vinson. He's an author, a podcaster, and a talk show host, and he's also a paranormal investigator, and the manager of our radio station.
More importantly, WLFM our station
DB
manager.
Radio.
So tune in.
If you
please.
Didn't see that one, tune in Saturday night right here where you're watching right now. You can catch it 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Next Wednesday, we're going to have Brakefield and Berkey, our good friends there from Texas, Charles Brakefield and Rox Berkey. They write techno thrillers, the Enigma series. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're also a Magnolia Bluff authors as well.
Yes.
And tonight's guest is Joseph Carabas. Would you like to introduce him?
Well, sure. Could we bring him on the air?
Well, you can if you want to, I guess. He's kind of happy backstage. Oh, hi.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, everybody.
Joe or Joseph?
Joseph, please.
Joseph.
All right, Joseph. I don't know where to begin introducing Joseph. I mean, he's a very prolific writer, and he's had a very prolific resume, let me tell you. He's been a Cold Regions Research, apprentice coffee buyer broker, apprentice butcher, a long haul trucker, a physicist, an educator, a research officer, a scientist, a chief research scientist. I'm having to read this because I couldn't memorize it. And also a semioticist. Did I get that right?
I think you did. Yeah, sounds right.
And if you want to know, he will be able to explain that to you.
Yeah, he's very tired.
Chris Christman says, hi, Joseph.
Hi,
and
Chris.
And Joe Ponjol says, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt putting it all down. Actually, I had a person write it all down for me. So, yeah.
You've done a lot.
Yeah.
By the way, Brakefield and Berkey, they are really great people. I interviewed them years ago. Love their stuff. Love their books.
Yeah, me too.
Just get them talk. Get Charles to talk about bike riding in Texas, motorcycle riding. You know, just because he knows nothing about it, he would never talk about it.
Sure, we know though.
Okay.
We know. We're actually going on a book tour with George and with Brakefield and Berkey and Caleb and Linda Pirtle. For both.
And Mike Clifton, too. Yeah. And CW.
Mike Clifton and CW Hawes.
Becca Jones.
And Becca Jones.
Yeah. So we're
through
in
Texas.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're leaving.
This summer.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. But we're not going to be on motorcycles.
So let's not talk about us anymore. Let's talk about Joseph. Joseph, tell us a little bit about yourself. You can even go through everything else that we just talked about.
I'm remarkably not good at talking about myself. As a matter of fact, when I am asked, you know, tell us about yourself, I will very often respond with, well, I'm boring and dull.
Oh, okay.
At which point my publisher and my wife and several other people say, no, you're not. Stop it.
I just said, no, you're not.
What about me? I do enjoy making pizza. I love to make pizza. Studied making pizza. I make everything from the shell beyond the sauce and everything. And we were mentioning off camera about being up in Canada.
Yeah.
Susan, my beloved wife and I, wife, partner, and princess, we used to go up there regularly and visit friends. And one time we were up there and I happened to say, would you folks like me to cook dinner? Yeah, sure. What are you going to make? I said, I'm going to make pizza. Okay. And they kind of figured I was going to go out to the local pizzeria or something. Like that. Said, no, you have flour? Okay, good. You're good. So I made pizza from scratch. And that night we were having pizza and a couple of their friends came over. Okay, good. Yeah, we're all like, wow, it's really good. Oh, my God. Next time we're coming up, about a year later, we're coming up. As we're coming in the door, putting our bags down, their phone rings. Are those friends of yours who make pizza? Are they going to make pizza? Can we come by? So now we have a house of 30 people now.
You know, oh, my goodness.
All
that's
coming
a lot
by.
Of pizza.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me crank up the other oven too, I think, you know. But I love being with people. I enjoy talking and chatting and learning from people, learning from their experiences. Yeah. So now I'll be quiet.
No, you don't have to be
you're
quiet.
You're the one that's supposed to be talking.
blah, blah, blah.
How did you what led you into writing?
When I was a very young child, less than 10 years old, I'm going to say somewhere around 6 or 7. I don't think I was even 8 years old yet. I was doing dishes with my sister, Sandra. We're in the kitchen. She's washing and I'm drying. And I do not know what triggered it, but she, being 7 years older than me, she was in high school already. And she was telling me about this book she was reading for an English class. And the book was James Blish's Mission to the Hard Stars, which is a phenomenal golden age book if you've never read it. I recommend it. Anyway, Sandra, who's usually a very quiet person, is going on and she's excited and she's talking about, and then these people did, and there were these creatures in the book and they were like this and they were, oh, they could do this kind of stuff. And then they went there and they met. Excuse me. I'd never seen Sandra so enraptured by something. And I remember I consciously at that age watched my sister and I said, I want to give that to people. I want people to have that, that joy, that, you know, engagement. Now marketers use the term engagement. I want people to have that, oh my God, mm-hmm. sense that reality was so much more than this reality. And so I began writing when I was a kid, sold my first story in 1978. Then life got in the way, right? You know, you do things. And in 2016, Susan and I had just finished with our last business. And Susan said, you know, we don't have to worry about money anymore. And I've never seen you happier than when you were writing your books. So I want you to write your books and your fiction the rest of your life. And I went, oh, shucks, no, darn. Began typing away. And that was it.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That excitement is sort of like remembering the first time you saw Star Wars. Coming out of the movie theater, right? That kind of excitement.
Yeah.
After waiting in line for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was so different and incredibly.
Yes.
Yes. Came to life, you know.
Yes.
We do have a comment from Joe Conjul who says, pizza is the perfect food, and Joe, we will not argue with that.
No.
Yeah.
I like the little pizza.
His little
too.
Pizza nice. Emoji. And Paul Hollis says, late but here. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, Joe, if you've never had a chicken feta or a chicken pesto pizza, you have to give those a try. I'm not sure if you can find them around there, if you have the ability to make them, but a chicken pesto, a little garlic, right on there.
You're talking also to an Italian.
Oh, really?
Joe, yeah.
and sun-dried tomato with bruschetta. Oh, my God. You guys didn't know we were doing a cooking show, did you? We're doing a cooking show tonight, yeah.
One of our daughters actually bought a pizza oven. And that's
a brick oven?
No, it's... I think it's gas powered, but it's
ceramic, you, isn't it?
Maybe it's ceramic, but you put wood in it and stuff. So it's wood.
Yeah. That's the thing. You need wood fired. Yeah.
Joe Conjul said, I know.
Yes. Yes.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Now you're making me hungry. Okay. We're going to have to go.
We
get
have
a pizza.
To stop talking.
Hey, Joe, have you ever had a Northern White pizza, which is just fontina cheese with a light dusting of mozzarella on top to make like a kind of sealant with garlic, a little bit of olive oil? I'll send you the recipe. Get in touch with me. I'll send you the recipe.
There you go.
Joe will get in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I know this for a fact. Maybe we should talk about one of your books.
Yeah. What was your first one?
Okay.
My first book, we're talking about the first one I wrote, the first one I got published.
Yeah, tell us about the first one you wrote first.
It doesn't matter whether you published it or not.
Oh, good, because it sucked.
Our first one did too.
Yeah.
I think
didn't even like it.
That's a requirement. You know, it's kind of like you have to get all the crap out. It was my first time through college. It was my first time through college, as a matter of fact. And I was a rotten college student. I'd been to college three times and I got a degree purely by accident. One of my professors said, you know, you have enough credits to get a degree. I said, really? Oh, okay. But my first time through college, and I've always seen things kind of mythically, kind of fantastically, not in the sense of dragons and wizards and stuff, but there was a guy I knew, a really great, great guy, and he was a really good dancer. He was a thespian, an actor, really good dancer. And back then there was a dance craze called the bump. We're talking the early 1970s, for those of us who remember such great, you know. Anyway, so I created what would now be called a graphic novel.
Oh.
And the character in it was the Black Bumper. He was dressed all in black, and he was kind of like a cyclone, and he could transmit psychokinetic energy through his hips, you know. So that guy would be doing something, boom, you know,
quiet off. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think you need to publish it.
Yeah, go ahead and publish it.
No, because the images were cool, but the writing was like, oh my God.
It's a new Marvel.
But the idea is great.
Yeah.
The concept is great.
You look at that stuff, you look at the early stuff now. I'll give you another example. I wrote a short story in the early 1990s called The Alibi. And I write down there, I have this big bin of folders of stories that are, you know, not completed, whatever.
Yeah.
In case you need an alibi.
Yeah. So I will go through, I picked one out. It was The Alibi. And I'm reading it. This was written, I wrote this in the 1990s. And I'm like, I'm literally going, oh my God, what the heck was I thinking? What the, you know, look, he used a verb. Oh, good job, Joseph. But I also realized the idea was really good. The concept was really good. The characters were nice. The execution was.
The Graduate School of Arts and Sciences at Tufts University offers advanced education and career preparation for tomorrow's leaders. Enroll in a master's degree in data analytics, sustainability, urban and environmental planning, economics, education, or any of our online certificate programs for professionals. New online certificates coming soon. Study full-time or part-time. Tufts will help you get to where you're going next. Take the next step. Visit asegrad.tufts.edu.
Lowe's MVP's bonus days are back for pros. Right now, buy a DeWalt 20-volt max power stack battery 2-pack at $199 and get a select DeWalt bare tool free. Plus, earn three times the bonus points on all Metabo HPT tools and products. Shop even more savings and bonus points offers during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any, valid 320 through 331. Subject to change. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. Visit Lowe's.com/MVP's bonus points for details.
Off the charts bad. So yeah. I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna see if this is salvageable. And now I'm writing a novel based on that short story, which really sucked. But now I'm able to flesh out the characters, develop the plot, let everything go through, subplots, you know, and intrigues and everything else. So anyway.
We have quite a few comments. George Dispute said, so did he bump people off?
No, he didn't really, no. But that's a good idea for future stuff, yeah.
And in answer to your question about the White Northern, Joe Conjul said, yes, the place where I grew up made one.
Yes.
Yankee's Pizza Pad in upstate New York.
I got to go.
So then Chris Christman says, Joseph, will you be writing a pizza cookbook? That's a good idea.
Good idea.
But I think in The Alibi, which takes place in North Boston, which is a very heavily ethnic area, Italian area.
Yes, it is.
I think there's going to be a bunch of cooking involved in the story, and I'll have the pizza recipes in there.
Cool.
So Cooties will then buy the book.
I'm from the other side of Boston.
Southie?
Irish, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Southie.
The other side of the tracks.
I mean, when I was three, we moved to the suburbs, but you know.
Yeah. Good, Joe. Well, good for you.
I'm sitting here, Joe Condra said, I'm sitting here eating homemade meatballs right now. And Marjorie Deering said, we just had spaghetti for supper. Italian is trending tonight, but I'm Polish.
It's okay. You can be Polish. We accept that. We love
yes.
such
yeah.
We're very accepting.
Yeah. So, and actually, my aunt married what my grandmother called an Italian.
Italian.
And
with a capital
which, if you know, that was not something you did in Boston, was an Irish married an Italian.
Yeah.
And his family was amazing. I learned how to make brinjal and gravy and meatballs from him.
Mm-hmm.
His house was constantly covered with noodles drying. And I mean, it was great. I know, I'm making you really hungry.
Yeah, so we're going to have to take a short break.
My Uncle Tony.
We're going to take a short break and get a word from our sponsors. Yeah, I know.
We've talked a lot.
When we come back, we'll actually talk about something you've actually published.
Written, yes, okay. Published.
Very good.
All right, guys. So, we'll quit chatting now.
All right, see
we'll
you in
be
3 minutes.
Back.
Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Mystery hovers in the Magnolia Bluff Public Library. It has nothing to do with the hundreds of suspense novels on its shelves. Caroline McCluskey is the librarian. She finds a crimson hat and a black and white poodle puppy. They belong to Esther Williams. Esther is missing. The police can't find her. Neither can the FBI. Esther's only hope is a ring of three women investigators who form the Round Table. The Round Table has already solved one mystery in town, but this time, a woman's life is at stake. The Doggone Diamond Dilemma is now available on Amazon.
They thought the siren was dead. In the novel, Siren Song, by author George Dismukes, James Harmon shot her twice. Several people saw her dead body sinking slowly into the abyss. But now, in Siren Song 2, evidence suggests that she may still be alive.
She killed that boatload of people. It was her! And she's just getting started!
Angie, that's impossible.
The cold chill up my spine tells me it's not impossible. We've got to start all over again. And this time, do it right.
Siren Song 2. The story continues. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and many other bookseller websites. Get your copy today.
It's a murder scene. Like many others, except the prime suspect is a beautiful woman from Detective Ray Schiller's past. Ray is determined to help her, but at what cost? For his interference, the killer threatens all Ray holds dear. He's given terms and a deadline he can't possibly meet. Run, Ray, run.
Watch the past come back with a vengeance in Targeted. Don't miss a second. Order now.
And we're back.
We're back. And Marjorie Dearing has a question. She said, is there a technical problem tonight? My screen keeps going to black. Ours haven't. I don't know if anybody else in the audience has had that problem, but
if
ours
anybody
have been
else
fine.
Has,
let us know.
Let us know, and then we can take it up with StreamYard. But so far, everything's showing.
Been fine.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
So, Paul Hollis says, good here. Thank you, Paul. We
Thanks,
appreciate
Paul.
That. Joe Conjul said, my grandmother made a mean brujal, the best. Okay, Robin Joan, you need to start another podcast all about Italian cooking. Oh, no, Joe, you are one of the people that talked us into that paranormal podcast.
Yeah.
We're not doing a third podcast. God
Although
help
one
us.
Of our daughters, Colleen, probably would really want to do
would
that.
Would want yeah. to do that, yeah. yeah. So but that's the one with the pizza oven. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, can we please talk about at least one of his books?
I don't think he wrote anything.
Yes,
what
he
do you
did.
Think?
He wrote a ton. Let me go through some of them real quickly for you people, okay? There's a series, it's an anthology. One is Harvey Duckman. Another series, also, if I remember correctly, an anthology. Am
Reading
I right?
Virtual Mind.
These are nonfiction, nonfiction about the company we used to have.
Okay. And this one is the
Anthology.
Okay. And here's one.
All of my stories in an anthology.
Tales Told Round
Celestial Campfires.
But that's... there's two or three of those books, right? Campfire books?
There's a bunch of these stories that are in this book are pulled out separately as small ebooks.
That's right.
All right.
So they'll show up separately on
yes.
Campfire. All right. And here's The Augmented
That's the
Man.
Most recently published, The Augmented Man, which is a sci-fi, psych, military thriller.
Okay. And that Think You Do.
Nonfiction about my studies in neuroscience, psychology, sociology, language, anthropology. How to basically make use of all these interesting findings, but in a real basis, how do you actually apply this in real life?
Okay.
To help you.
Yes.
To
benefit you, to help you change your life.
Yeah. Yep. Not just to learn things, but it's good to learn things so you know how to react and help other people who are going through mental health issues.
Yes.
And then here is Empty Sky.
Yes. A science fantasy.
I like science fantasy, but it's real science. But told in a fantastical way, I guess.
It's science applied in ways most scientists will go, well, no, you don't really do that. Well, there's no rule saying you can't do that. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, what show is me the- where the rules say you can't do that. Well, the rules don't explicitly say you can't do that. Then go away.
Can you tell us a little bit about
Empty Sky?
Storyline on that?
Yeah.
Empty Sky, a young toddler, Jamie McPherson, and his dog Shem are tasked by the moon, Selene, goddess of the night and queen of dreams, to save the world's dreams because people are losing the ability to dream, the ability to hope, the ability to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. And she offers to give him whatever assistance he needs. What nobody knows but is discovered later on is that there is a massive threat. The NSA, one of the senior directors in the NSA, has figured out how to weaponize dreams, how to make people not have nightmares. But for example, in a dream, the person will vote a certain way. And of course, that's a signal to the person in real life to vote a certain way. To not support a conflict, to support a conflict, so on and so forth. And that's one of the ways that people will lose hope. Their dreams are being taken from them. So,
wow, that's a very interesting concept.
Well, because the science behind that is very real, though.
Yes, it is.
If you stop people from dreaming, they can have very severe mental health
So don't
health
leave
problems.
Your TV on at night when you're sleeping.
Right. As a matter of fact, if you would like, I can read you very brief part from the first chapter of that book?
That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Chapter one, The Cabin. Jamie woke to Shem's tail thumping his legs. The big golden retriever sat at the edge of their bed and stared out the cabin window. Jamie reached over the quilt and grabbed his tail. What, Shem? Outside, peepers and crickets chirped, raccoons chittered, possum and skunk hissed. Owls hooted and loons called. A wolf howled in the distance. Shem looked back at Jamie and whined softly. Jamie's tiny hand ran through his ginger hair and looked past Shem to the oak, elm, and pine of Michigan's Upper Peninsula forest. The moon, full and bright, illuminated the trees and the small one-room vacation cabin at their center. Shem go pee? Shem jumped off the bed and scratched at the door. Jamie glanced at his parents, Ellie and Tom, asleep in their own bed on the other side of the cabin, and put his finger to his lips. Shh, Mom and Dad sleeping. He crawled out from under the quilt and tiptoed to, in his stars and moon print, Dr. Denton's to the door. Standing on a chair, he drew back the bolt and lifted the latch. Cool winds changed rustling treetops into brooms, sweeping low-hung clouds from late September skies. Dust devils spun mists where night air met day-warmed rocks. Trees bowed to the rising moon as its face changed from meteor-impacted gray to a beautiful white-skinned woman's. Shem walked into the night. Jamie followed. The moon continued her ascent. The woods fell silent. Silent. Ellie sat up in bed. Her hands clenched the blanket and held it tight against her. A cold, dank wind swirled through the cabin, lifted things slightly as if inspecting them, then putting them down, and drew a musk of cold earths in its wake. Moonlight entered the cabin's single room. Ellie's eyes fixed on Jamie's empty bed. Jamie! Shem! Tom's eyes bolted open. He followed her gaze, then rose and put his boots on in one motion. Where are they? She hurried into her own boots. The door's open! Tom threw Ellie her coat. They must be together. Shem won't let Jamie out of his sight. Something's got them. Some wild animal. There's no blood anywhere, Ellie. Shem would raise hell if something got in the cabin or near Jamie. He grabbed an iron poker from the wood stove. Ellie stopped at the door, a silhouette in the moonlight. Shh. Tom came up behind her. What the? Shh. What are they doing? It looks like they're playing. With whom? There you go.
Oh, you're not going to tell us with whom.
Hey, there's this book I wrote. Now, let me share something with your audience.
Yes.
That book came out, was one of the first books I self-published in 2016. And when I was reading it again, I realized it needed work. It was good at its time, but it was not where I am now in my writing. So I've rewritten it. That rewritten version will be out in 2 months, republished in 2 months. Now, if anybody in your audience wants to get on Amazon, buy a copy of the existing version and leave a review, I will send them an autographed copy of the new version when it's available. No
in
charge.
In the United States.
In the United States, yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Unless somebody wants to pay for my plane fare anywhere else.
You got it. And as you'll long, hand deliver it.
As long as they have, as long as they have pizza there.
Yes. Yes.
Paul Hollis says, great read. I'm hooked. Right, Paul?
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that.
That was a great hook. It was. And you stopped it at just the wrong place.
I know. I'm evil that way.
Yes. And Chris Christman said, controlling your dreams is valuable. It's also Machiavellian. It's very evil.
Yeah.
Don't like that idea. I like my freedom, especially my freedom to dream whatever I want to dream, no matter how wacky they may be.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Now I want to read that book.
Good. My work here is done.
Do you want to take us through any of the other books and tell us a little bit about them? You pick.
I pick which books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. That Think You Do, which is a nonfiction, it's the publicist is putting it out as a personal transformation, self-help, What it's based on is from 2008 to 2016, I wrote a series of weekly blog posts about my research for the company we had. And instead of, well, we've discovered that the neuropeptides come over to the anterior cingulate, I would say, have you ever had this experience? Okay, the reason you're having that experience is because this is happening in your brain. By the way, did you know that you can actually control what's happening in your brain? It takes a little bit of practice. And oh, by the way, here's what you need to practice to gain control of the part of your brain that's causing this. So you're having anxiety meeting somebody at work. You don't want to go to a meeting and because you're afraid you're going to get chewed out. You find somebody else attractive, but you don't know how to approach them. You're a little intimidated. You want to change some aspect of your life. Okay, here are really simple things you can do, which are based on really good, solid research. I was published in both Science and Business peer-reviewed journals. So here are simple things. Oh, and by the way, here's how I used it in my own life. You know, I used to always forget things, and then I started making lists. And then I realized my list would be better if I did these simple things to them. Well, I can actually do that in my head before I write something down on paper. Another chapter, and I explained how to do that and how to optimize your lists so that you could feel successful completing tasks rather than, oh, no, I got to go do that. Oh, I got to go do that. No, you succeeded. Relax. Take a breath. One of the chapters that I often get comments on is 4 steps to thinking like an expert. Doesn't matter the field, you choose the field. You can think, you can become an expert in that field, 4 easy steps. And I get so many people contacting me saying, wow, people are amazed. I go to parties now, you know, and I'm talking in the office and they're like, you really know a lot about this stuff. Well, I read this book. Another one that I get a lot of comments about is get a good mat on, it might be good for you. And that's about the fact that when you're going into a situation such as a meeting, business meeting.
Lowe's MVP's bonus days are back for pros. Right now, buy a DeWalt 20-volt max power stack battery 2-pack at $199 and get a select DeWalt bear tool free. Plus, earn 3 times the bonus points on all Metabo HPT tools and products. Shop even more savings and bonus points offers during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts if any. Valid 320 through 331. Subject to change. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. Visit Lowe's.com/MVP's bonus points for details. Lowe's MVP's bonus days are back for pros. Right now, buy a DeWalt 20-volt max power stack battery 2-pack at $199 and get a select DeWalt bear tool free. Plus, earn 3 times the bonus points on all Metabo HPT tools and products. Shop even more savings and bonus points offers during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts if any. Valid 320 through 331. Subject to change. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. Visit Lowe's.com/MVP's bonus points for details.
When you think you're going to be under attack for whatever reason, a lot of people will, let me be calm. I'm going to be calm here. I'm going to relax. I'm going to do deep breathing before I go in. Well, neurophysically, it's a little bit better if you allow yourself to get agitated, not to the point where you're snarling, you know, oh, I'm going to have. No, but when you allow yourself to feel some of that coming up, some of that anger, anger is what we call a defense emotion. It's a boundary emotion. It's a way we put out to the universe, this is as far as I want you to go. Don't come any closer. This is it. We can talk, but it's going to be here. So I give steps for getting that little bit of anger going, not to the point where you're raging, but enough so that when somebody does attack you, you respond to the attack, not the individual. Okay. You don't want to go after the individual. You want to go after what they're attacking you about.
Right.
And if there's something genuine in what they're saying, they may be saying it angrily. They may be hostile. But if there's something genuine, own it.
Own it. Right. Exactly.
And if it, what they're saying is way off base or they don't have all the information, share the information.
Show them.
Don't tell them, well, you're a moron because you don't know this. No, no, no. You know, I appreciate what you're saying, but I think there's a piece here you're missing. Can I share that piece? And I explain how to do these things. There's a section in that chapter called Walk Like a Predator, which explains how we can do minute physiological changes as we literally as we approach something or a person, which trigger non-consciously the other person will recognize that's a predator. They won't consciously go, oh my God, we're a leopard. But what will happen is they will get a non-conscious clue from our evolutionary history. That person, ooh, I shouldn't be mean to them. I shouldn't threaten them.
And that's how we feel if we see a wolf out in the wild or a shark in the ocean. You're going to respect. Yeah. You're going to respect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because you don't want to get eaten. Joe Conchal said, I'll take you up on that. Just bought the book. And I believe he means Empty Sky.
Joe's a reviewer.
Yeah. Oh, please do leave reviews.
He does. Yes. He leaves very good reviews about what he thinks.
Let me know, Joe. Let me know that you. I'm assuming you guys are going to give out my email address.
Yes, I will.
I can do it right now.
Yeah. Well, just say, Joe and whoever, let me know the review. Send me a link to the review, and definitely send me your USPO address so I can send you the book. I will send you an autographed copy.
All right, so here you can reach Joseph at website josephcarabas.com. I will spell it this time, J-O-S-E-P-H-C-A-R-R-A-B-I-S. You can find him on Twitter at josephcarabas2. You can find him on Facebook at Joseph Carabas Author. You can find him on LinkedIn, Joseph Carabas, YouTube at Joseph Carabas Author.
And subscribe to his YouTube.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can see that I was very inventive when I named things. You can see that.
That's good branding. Yeah. Actually.
Thank you. Well,
unless you changed your name.
Then it would be bad branding, yes.
No.
And his email is joseph@nlb.pub, as in publish. Why don't we do the book giveaway? But first, we have a comment from, Joe Conjul says, will do, thanks.
You're a good man, Joe.
He is.
He most definitely is.
He really is. Okay, here we are.
Yeah, the book giveaway. Go ahead and send in the first three people to email joseph@nlb.pub will win an ebook copy of choice.
And I'll leave the email up there for a little bit so that you can have time to write it down and go ahead and start
sending that in. He has a lot of good choices. Yeah.
Going back to that Think You Do.
That sounds fascinating, like a fascinating book.
A really helpful book.
It is. You should get a copy.
I should.
Is that, wait a minute. Are you sending me a message?
Yes, he is. Do you talk about rumination at all?
Ruminating? Can you talk about ruminating?
In the book. Yeah.
In the book.
You mean, tell me more what you mean by ruminating.
What I mean is that some of us that have certain mental health problems have a difficulty with ruminating. Ruminating is going over something over and over and over in your mind. If you have PTSD, you're very much aware of what rumination is.
There is a chapter entitled Dealing with Your Critical Internal Actors and Critical Thinkers. And what you're describing, the rumination, people who have mental health issues, and I'm still very active in that community, they will most often have a triggering event.
Yes.
Something external to them, which will cause a flash memory, what's called a flash memory. Very often the flash memory is something very deep. It's not something that we daily go, It'll be, you see something on TV, you hear something on the radio, on YouTube, whatever. You see an email. It really doesn't matter. You can read something. And it's just enough so that some deep, long forgotten, if you will, memory fires and comes to the surface, finds its way along the synapses and very quickly comes up. What very often happens people will recognize that is what's called a behavioral manifestation of an internal response. And people who are all by themselves or walking along, they'll suddenly will wince, or they'll pull in, or they'll just, or you see somebody who's talking along and all of a sudden, they'll do something external and people around them are kind of like, what was that about? Nothing to do with what's really happening intentionally. Some strange little thing that nobody intended caused a fire inside. And they are responding to the memory of the event, post-traumatic stress disorder. They are responding to the event, not what's happening now.
Exactly.
Because people who suffer from such things relive the event. They don't remember the event. They relive it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the critical aspect. And these critical aspects of our thinking are called intrusive thoughts. And they will come up and signal to us and fire that. And it's always negative. We never have an intrusive thoughts like, wow, you just did a great thing. Go. You're such a good person. So what I suggest in the book, what I offer, and the suggestions on how to deal with it, there's another part of the brain, which is our inner actor. And our inner actor is the one we want to have come out, the one that we genuinely want to encourage, the person we want to be. So there are ways to recognize when the critical actor is firing, as it's firing. And there are ways described in the book to basically thank that critical actor, that critical thinker. To say, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I need to talk to this part over here right now. And we pay attention to the actor, the engaging actor, the one we want. It doesn't happen overnight. If it does happen overnight, tell me how you did it, because that's a book in itself. But what you can do, and I explain how to do it in the book, there's a four-step process where first you recognize it happened. Damn, it happened. And you reckon, you get to the point where it happened. But now you're paying attention to the event that happened, not to the event, the fact that it happened. So your mind's not on the thing that's, you know, causing you pain. Then you get to the point where you can recognize it as it's happening. No longer after, but okay, here it is. It's okay, this is it. This is what I'm doing. Okay, good. And you immediately switch. Now, when you've gotten there, the next step is you recognize when it's about to happen. You can feel that trigger getting ready to fire. You go, thank you, but I'm going to take care of this. And now you're at the point, this is the last step, where it doesn't happen. You've gone from, I realized it happened, it's happening, I can feel it about to happen, I'm not going to let it happen. And again, standard psychodynamics, what we do is we take something which we don't want, we recognize that it had value at some point, it was some survival mechanism inside of us that got us to this point, and we don't get rid of it. What we say is, I'm going to let this one take care of it. I'm going to let this other thing take care of it. So we don't get rid of it. We basically say, thank you for all the work you've done. We really appreciate it. We're going to let you rest. We're going to give you a chance to rest. And here's the really critical part. If I ever feel that I need you again, I know right where you are, and I will come get you. And we are honoring ourselves. That part is very self-honoring, because instead of beating ourselves up, oh, why did I think that? Now we're going, okay, I'm good. I'm good that happened. Thank you. I appreciate it. And we've gone full. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you definitely do need a fight or flight response. We'd be in sad shape if we didn't have that.
Yeah.
Right. The thing about the fight or flight response, the actual line, if you will, there is flight, freeze, fear, flight, fear, freeze. Yeah. So what happens is these are actually four options, and we will cycle through them. a mm-hmm. rabbit in the field will freeze. There are yes. animals which freeze. They
and
don't
then
move.
He'll run.
There are other animals which, when they feel threatened, they will try to intimidate you back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They won't, you know, the minute they get a chance, they'll bolt. But mm-hmm. as long as they can get you to back away, okay, they're good. So there's actually those four options. And that's what we're doing. We're doing getting you to cycle through those options to the point where
awesome.
You don't need any options anymore.
Yeah. Very,
my
very.
Pleasure. Happy to help.
Yeah. We're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more. This is absolutely fascinating. So stand by while we get a little message from our sponsor.
And don't forget to enter for that book giveaway.
That's right. We'll keep that ticker going there.
First, there was Siren Song. Then Siren Song 2. Now comes The Siren Hunter, a continuing saga about Angie Holland and her never-ending battle with the mythological denizens that are not even supposed to exist. Is The Siren Hunter a conclusion to the undersea horror? Only the sirens know for sure.
The Siren Hunter, now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and many other bookseller websites. Or contact this podcast. The trilogy is complete.
People who like to read want to get their hands on books by Becca Jones.
Becca Jones, the breakthrough author who tells it like it is. It takes courage to tell a story when it reveals dark secrets. Becca Jones delves deep into the hidden world of sexual abuse. She tells what happened and also tells how she survived.
Meant to Be is much more than just entertaining. Meant to Be gives you a point of reference, hope to cling to, and becomes a guide for survival if you have suffered the same thing. Meant to Be, Becca Jones. A must-have.
Meant to Be is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and many other bookseller websites.
Madison Jackson loved being a cop. A young girl is raped and murdered near Burnett Reservoir. Madison vows to get justice for the child. Madison travels to the heart of Mexican cartel country. She is kidnapped, tortured. Will Madison ever make it home? Justice by Kelly Marshall. Only at Amazon.com.
We're back.
We are.
So Chris Christman said, but sadly, some triggers cannot be avoided. We just have to write it out. I think, though, what Joseph was saying was that these four steps, you learn how to approach those triggers every time they happen until finally you're able to have that without being in the moment again. Because if you have PTSD, what happens is the sound and everything is going to be exactly where you were at that moment. Mm-hmm. And this allows you to be in the moment you're actually in and deal with what you need to do. And he said it would take a lot of practice to be able to.
Yes, it does.
To reach that.
It's sort of
point.
Like reprogramming the taping, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Thank goodness the brain has several mechanisms that allow us to do such things. We are not trapped, if you will, by mm-hmm. our history. As a matter of fact, I do a lecture, which some people want as a class, and basically is write your history, change your life. Give you an example. Anybody who picks up and reads The Augmented Man and knows that I write primarily autobiography, they're like, and I said, yeah, that's my story. So one of the things that I did in that book was, these things happened to me and they sucked. They basically destroyed me. But at a certain point in my life, I said, I can change. I can't change what happened to me. I can change my responses to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So write your history, change your life. One of the things we've discovered through therapeutic work, through deep psychological training and working with people around the globe, is if people are able to admit, to openly admit their experiences, to share them, even if it's just sharing with yourself at first, because that's usually the most difficult thing, honestly, to share what happened, and then share it with one other, maybe two others, that gives them the ability to own it rather than be controlled by it.
Mm-hmm.
And once we own it, it's ours. We can modify it. We can, you know, we can put this kind of gas in the car. We can put those kind of tires on the car. We can change the car out, new spark plugs, whatever we want, right? That's what we're doing. And those are the steps.
Yep. Isn't easy, but it can be done.
Exactly. Exactly. It takes work. Anything you, my opinion, anything that's really worth going after in this life, you're going to have to put in the work.
You're going to have to do the work.
Yeah, really.
If you want a good relationship, you have to put in the work.
That's yes.
Right. And I don't care who the relationship is with, you have to put in the work.
Yes, exactly.
You want to make friends with a dog, you have to put in the work. So
indeed.
You want to have friends with your, be friends with your partner, you got to put in the work.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a really good thing is to be able to be honest with yourself, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and really look at things honestly, not be too down on yourself or think that you're above it all, but just kind of look at where you're really at.
That's one of the things that people with some emotional, psychological, emotional difficulties, usually their greatest problem, the first thing to overcome, is being honest with themselves mm-hmm. about their feelings and about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to recognize, for example, that you were a victim to mm-hmm. certain situation, to individuals, you're claiming power back. One yeah. of the things I, on a, am I, let me know if I'm going on too long here and boring everybody.
No.
Okay.
This is your time.
I'm enjoying it. I hope the audience is, but I'm having a good
time.
Well,
if anybody in the audience wants me to change topics, let me know.
We will.
I'm happy to bore you with something else. But back in the 90s, I was on a panel at a conference. And one of the things that happened in my research was I recognized that people very often, and now this is standard psychological understanding, people will very often return to the victim state. They'll go back to the abuser. They'll mm-hmm. go back to whatever is the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I said from the podium, whenever you have someone return to the abusive situation, they're no longer a victim. They are their own victimizer. Because if they recognize this is unhealthy and they return to it, they are allowing themselves to be traumatized. Mm-hmm. I had to be escorted out under guard because back in the early 1990s, that was not what you said. You did not say that women who return to an abusive partner, men who return to an abusive partner, people who return to any kind of abusive relationship are no longer victims. They are victimizing themselves. Oh, that was sacrilege. Now it's part of standard doctrine.
Yeah. Yep. You've got to make the change. You have to recognize the problem or you're not gonna try and solve it.
Yes.
I remember we were at a meeting once where I shared something quite honestly. Okay. Probably more honesty than most people were used to hearing.
Yeah.
And someone came to me after the meeting and said, you'll remember this, mm-hmm. and said to me, oh, I thought I had a lot of problems, but I've never been as bad off as you.
Thank you. Encourage someone.
Remember that?
Yeah, it
made me laugh so hard. And I said,
yeah,
but it's not a problem for me anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not hear that part of what I was saying. It's not a problem. I've had victory. I'm a survivor.
Good for you.
I'm not a survivor. I'm victorious, which is...
Yes. That's another thing. Okay. You mentioned being a survivor. A lot of people get caught in the survivor mode and they define themselves by the traumatic event. Mm-hmm. I'm a survivor of rape. I'm a survivor of combat. I'm a survivor of... Okay, that's useful for a while. But if that's the identity you choose, you are always going to be...
You're going to live in that.
Exactly.
You're going to be a survivor of that, you know.
Yeah. Things
we're
happen.
All survivors of something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody,
exactly.
You know.
And I say to people, I've had what some would define as extreme trauma in my life. Mm-hmm. Those are things that happened to me. Mm-hmm. They got me here. They got me onto the show, talking to you people, sharing what I've learned about this.
Right.
So I'm thankful, but it's not who I am now. I can relate to people and I can share what happened, but it's not who I am now.
Exactly.
Who I am now is some Italian lad who makes a good pizza.
But you're helping people now with those things that you...
I would hope so. I hope so, yes.
That's the whole point, right? That's why we share.
Yes.
Chris Christman said, I wrote mine into a book and not published. And
keep at it, Chris. Go for it.
And Joy Shelton York wrote, me too. I write a better ending or resolution. Oh, that's good. And Chris Christman said, Joy, mine, his also had a happy ending.
Excellent.
And Joy.
Bravo.
I'm glad, Chris, me too. Choosing to say you're victorious is much more uplifting than saying you're a survivor.
Yes,
Because, you know, if you're hanging on to a life raft, you're surviving.
Yeah.
But if you swim to shore, you're victorious. So, you know what I mean. But yes. Semantics are important.
They are.
Yes.
They are. So, Joseph, what do you have coming up? You got anything on the drawing board?
Let's see. Tales Told Around Celestial Campfires is being repubbed and released this month. Then Empty Sky next month. My next brand new book is due out in June of this year, and that is The Inheritors, another science fantasy. And the basic idea of that is extremely, I would call them hyper-intelligent children, are taken through all history and brought way forward in time to help solve an environmental crisis. And once they are there in that future time, it's revealed that the way they can keep the environment safe is by the very act of thinking, that unique, hyper-intelligent way they think. Their gift is their ability to think clearly and logically and solve problems. The other thing that comes up is the people in the far future don't really want to change the environment because they're used to it. But they want these children to come forward in time to basically steady state that environmental system.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the children make other decisions. How's that?
Good. Becca Jones says, I do not like a victim mentality. Actually, Becca's written a book about it, which she's one of our sponsors. And there was a little commercial about it. I do not like a victim mentality. I had a really hard life with a lot of abuse, but I am a positive woman who is an overcomer and hope to encourage others who have been through similar things I went through.
Yes.
I know.
Excellent.
That's really good.
Yeah. And that's, I would encourage anyone to get that book. I think we have her book right up there.
Yes, we do. I have it up here someplace.
You folks want to show that book right now? That's fine.
I know it's up here, but I'm not seeing it. I'm sorry.
It's here.
Becca, it's here. I know it is.
Becca, can you put the title of that book into the stream so everyone can see it?
Meant to Be is the name of it.
Meant to Be is.
There it is, right there. Though.
Here it is.
Yeah, we found it.
Oh, okay.
There it is, right there.
Here we go. Got it?
Here. And I'm assuming it's on Amazon. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon.
Meant to Be.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you.
Very good at that. Okay. Meant to Be.
And here's a picture of Victorious Becca.
Excellent. You go. You go.
Yeah.
Rob.
So.
Yes. Amen.
And then after The Inheritors in September is The Shaman, which is basically.
Ooh.
Yeah. You might enjoy it.
I think I might.
All the first readers are going nuts over it. That's basically the story of a small child who is inducted into the mystery teachings by his grandfather in modern society. And it just follows his life. It's people who have read it said, you've basically written this like a journal of diary entries of this guy's experiences from childhood to the end. Very, very favorable feedback on it. And I have, I think, nine or more books coming out between now and the end of 2024. As a matter of fact, The Alibi, which I mentioned earlier, should that be completed, that'll be coming out in 2025. And the sequel to The Augmented Man in 2025 or early 2026.
Wow. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
In your
life. I hope so. I hope so.
That's great. That's great. I was curious. You had mentioned book signing in one of our pre-show things. Do you go on a lot of book signings? Do you find them effective?
Yes.
Do you enjoy them?
Oh, I love them. Pre-COVID, that was the main way that I got out because I love to meet people, as I mentioned earlier. and I love to have people talk to me about what they enjoy reading. And whenever I show up for a book signing, if it's an author convention or just a, you know, a book event of some kind, I will show up early and go around to all the other authors to learn what they have.
We do that and, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when somebody comes in the door and, you know, they see me and I will engage them. Hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. Thank you for stopping by. And rather than, you know, hit them immediately with, here are my books, what kind of things do you like to read out of curiosity? What brought you here today? And they'll tell me. And I'll say, I don't write that, but down there, three tables down, see that guy? He writes those. Two tables behind him is this other woman. She writes something else she might like. Invariably, what would happen is these people would go meet these other authors, grab a couple of books. Then they'd come back to me and they'd say something along the lines of, you know, I don't read this kind of stuff, but my brother-in-law, my cousin, let me get a book for them. Yeah, love it. Let me sign. So I always love personally signing books. Tell me about yourself. How do you want me to sign this? It brings me joy to meet people.
Yeah.
And now that COVID's gone and everything's opening up, I plan on getting very much more out there, becoming more active, contacting. I'm in the New Hampshire, Southern New Hampshire area, so contacting New England and then Northeast, Maritime Canada. Now it's called Atlantic Canada, but back, back when I was there, it was called Maritime. In through Quebec and, you know, doing book signings, going to more conventions and stuff. If people will have me, it's, you know, because I'm boring and dull.
And never done anything in your life. You've never.
Never. No.
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 Nothing to talk about.
Nothing on your resume.
No.
Same old stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, the person who says, I'm an exciting person,
I really
don't want to be around them because, you know, I'm in my late 60s. I don't need excitement in my life anymore. You know, a nice glass of wine, I'm good. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Nice relaxing evening. Yeah, you know, petting my dog, kissing my wife. You know, I'm good. That's all I need, you know. But the person who says, let's go hang gliding. You enjoy yourself. I'll be on the ground taking pictures of you. You know, so I'm boring and dumb.
Oh, dear.
Well,
Yes.
Do you have any more questions that you'd like to answer?
No, I think I got them all answered. I don't know if anybody else has any more questions, but if you do, write them in. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe Conjul said, love the show tonight. Joseph is a very interesting person. Thank you, Joseph. And of course, Rob and Joan. When will the pizza podcast?
We're tossing now, that idea around.
Oh, boom, boom. Okay. Marjorie Deering said, I'm glad no one else ran into a problem with the transmission. Maybe it's a computer glitch on my end. It was a good show despite having missed bits. Yeah, thanks. Maybe log into a different site, a different Facebook or a different, yeah. I don't know.
We have the two YouTubes, we have the three Facebook, and we've got the LinkedIn. So
maybe try that.
Try that.
Because it sounds like it's buffering what you told us privately.
Yeah, so it could, maybe you need to reboot, maybe it's your computer. And actually, I'm glad it is just on your end and not.
But I'm sorry.
Everybody, but I'm sorry at the same time.
Yeah, really.
So we could put a chapter in your book about feeling that
buffering.
Way. Conflicted.
Yeah. Yeah. Conflicted. Yeah. Paul Hollis, fantastic show. Very interesting. Thanks, Rob, Joan, and Joe.
My pleasure.
Chris Christman says, I still seek adventure. LOL. Great show.
Good for you.
Becca says, thank you. That was a great show. Becca, I don't know why I always want to say Lonnie's name because I know I'm talking to you. Lonnie's probably there listening too. Hi, Lonnie. But yeah, one of our Facebooks is Robin Jones. So nobody ever knows who they're with whom they are speaking.
Right. Right. So I guess what we better do is
wait a minute.
Whoop,
one more comment.
Close up for the night here.
Becca said, haha, I know. Yeah, good. I'm glad that you have patience with me.
Want to thank you, Joseph.
Yes.
It's been wonderful meeting
really
you
great show.
And really interested in your books. We're going to have to hop over and
I know.
Check them out.
I know.
And so we're going to move you over to the side now. So hold on to your chair.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hope that didn't hurt.
Wait backstage for us after the show is done.
Stay right where you're at until we come back to you. Want to remind everybody to hop over to Voice of Indie Podcast. In just a couple seconds, we'll be putting on the little tutorial on how to get over there, their little commercial. And then let's see. Next week, join us right here, same place, live broadcast, Brakefield and Berkey at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. So
the Enigma series,
the Enigma
it continues
series.
On.
It does. So I guess until next time.
That's all, folks.
Bye.
Good night.
Live every Wednesday, your Voice of Indie hosts, Beam Weeks and Stephen Gies, welcome authors, musicians, publishing industry pros, artists, and assorted creative guests for an exciting interactive hour. Call in during the show or post questions and comments on Twitter for responses in real time. Meet your favorite indie creators, learn inside tips, network, and promote your work. The link for each week's show is pinned on Twitter atop @VoiceOfIndie. And you can receive the link every Wednesday morning in your inbox by subscribing to our newsletter at freshinkgroup.com. Check out Voice of Indie every Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio and catch hundreds of episodes archived everywhere from our websites to our YouTube channel and Spotify.
Thank you for joining us here on Meet the Author. Make sure you stay up to date with our show by clicking like, follow, and share. And you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and more. See you next time on WLFE-DV.com.
You've been listening to WLFE-DV.com, where our shows are your shows.
Mm-hmm.
Lowe's MVP's bonus days are back for pros. Right now, buy a DeWalt 20-volt max power stack battery 2-pack at $199 and get a select DeWalt bear tool free. Plus, earn 3 times the bonus points on all Metabo HPT tools and products. Shop even more savings and bonus points offers during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any, valid 320 through 331. Subject to change. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. Visit Lowe's.com/MVP's bonus points for details.